Listen up! You are now listening to News with My Fiance with DJ Ambush and Morgan Jones!
Check 1, 2, 1, 2. Good morning. Welcome, everyone, to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush right here on X-Ray FM. What'd you say, babes?
You got to do your fake news.
Which fake news?
That you found out was fake news, and now you have to tell everyone it's not real.
It's not real.
Yeah. It is fake news.
There's real fake news.
You got on the case.
Yeah, I was on a little bit.
Yeah.
I was on a little bit.
Jumped on in.
What's up, you guys? How's everybody doing this morning? Good, fabulous Thursday morning. You know what I'm saying? Hope you guys are doing well. Dibs already checking in.
What up, Dibs?
Hey, now. What up, Dibs?
Good morning.
You know what I'm saying?
I can't get my...
Your Slack going?
I can't get the text line open.
Oh.
What's going on?
All right. Morgan can't get the text line open, so everybody just say hi to me.
Wow.
What?
That's not what it means.
I was trying to take the pressure off you. You know, you got to communicate with people, and you can't get back to them, and, you know? It's kind of like BCCing you, but for radio.
I don't like it.
No?
No.
All right, guys. Per my previous message, in reference to my previous message, cancel that. Don't BCC MJ. Leave her.
Just speak to me directly.
Yeah, leave her to John.
Wow.
I didn't even go to HR. I got right on it myself. And I feel like we got a result.
You should have gone to HR in that scenario anyway.
I felt attacked. I should have. I believe
the fact that you would feel attacked from what just happened here is maybe you should go somewhere else and not HR.
Listen, you bringing your concerns created a hostile work environment for me.
Oh. This is not my favorite workplace then. No longer my favorite workplace.
I mean, concerns. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Geez.
Well, I hope that other people text in so that because I have it open now. So,
hopefully
I can talk to them instead of you today. Because, you're starting out spicy. And I'm unsure.
I am.
Wasn't attacking.
You know what? I'm going to play some Van Van later. That'll put me in a better mood.
Oh, that will put you in a better mood.
So, I found some real fake news, you guys. So, by now, you may have already seen it, or maybe you haven't. Our algorithms are really, really different. I was in the room with two of my homies yesterday. Shout out to John and the B-Bat, and I was telling them about...
That's who you were with?
Yeah. And I was telling them about...
Hi, friends. I miss y'all.
That DualShot app that came out. And I was like, yeah, you guys with that creator, the black man with the squirrels in his backyard. And both of them looked at me like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, this guy's been around for a minute now. He hasn't hit your algorithm yet? Like,
you don't know that guy?
He's in and out of my algorithm. With the squirrels, Maxine?
You don't know Maxine?
They were like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I was like, cool. But
do they know about the black man with the ducks?
Ductavius?
Do they know Ductavius?
I'm not sure. They might not.
Do y'all know Ductavius? Mm. So really, you had to put me up on game on all these people with animals.
With animals?
Yeah.
All of our algorithms, you know, they do what they do. I am currently in bliss. I get so many babies and toddlers in my algorithm. And they're doing the cutest things.
They say the darndest things.
They are so hilarious. And it's just, But something I saw last week, there was a team of roofers, Latino roofers. And then they're working on this house. And the view is one of the roofers from their phone on the roof. And you see all these ICE agents pull up. And the story was that the woman, the white woman whose home they were working on, called ICE on them once they completed the job so she wouldn't have to pay them. It was like a $10,000 job.
What a world.
Yeah. So I'm like, holy crap. So that was like 2 weeks ago. So then or maybe last week. And then earlier this week, I saw another post, and it was like footage of her in cuffs, like with her back to the camera. They're walking her into the police station. Apparently, she got charged. And I cannot remember what the charge was, but it was basically in relation to having, you know, illegal labor and, you know.
Yeah, because they ever go to jail for that.
Right. That should have been my clue right there.
Yeah.
So then, as I'm working on the news yesterday, I was pretty proud of myself. I got it done early. And then that popped in my head, and I was like, holy crap. How did I forget? No, man, we got to mention that, at least in the warm-up. We got to talk about that. That's so wild. You sit here, you hire these workers, and instead of paying them, you call ICE on them. That's just dastardly.
So you get to your laptop. So
I get to my laptop, and I'm going in. Let me go get this, you know, do the research. And the first thing I see is a Snopes. And they're like, regardless of the videos and photos you've seen, this woman hasn't been arrested or even charged with anything. And I was like, wait a minute. I definitely saw a video of this woman getting arrested. So you're telling me this is either unrelated video from a completely different case or AI, which, you know, but apparently she hasn't been charged. So I do a Google search under her name. Yeah, all the sites that are covering this are pretty much bot sites. They're pretty much, you know, gossip blogs, tabloid stuff. So then,
and continue. Not even like Daily Mail, it's
right?
Like,
right, not even Daily Mail. So I continue to dig, and she released a statement saying, "Like, this isn't even my house, you guys. This is my dad's house. I was just over here when they got picked up." And ICE released a statement. It was actually their statement that I saw first. They were like, "Yeah, no one tipped us off to this," and I'm like, "No one believes you, ICE. Keep it down. Pipe down. All right. When I want ICE, I'll go to Sonic."
Okay.
You know? Correct. So I'm like, wait, but this story really flew like all over the place. And I couldn't bring it to you and give you any facts today because it's not true. It just isn't. The rumors started cooking because as the ICE agents were calling them down from the roof, one of the roofers said, In his video, he accused that woman of calling ICE on them in that moment. But it just wasn't true in that particular situation. He was like, "Oh, she must have called," and then internet ran with it. Man.
Won't they do it?
Oh, man. So that was, there it is for you guys. A solid 6 minutes of fake news. Delivered to you.
Directly to you.
Directly to you. We got a good morning here. Good morning.
Good morning, fiancés.
Someone else friends, checking in there.
Bays.
Let's be a new fiance. Mocha Jones, what's been going on in your neck of the woods?
Do you actually mean like in my life or like the news I've heard lately?
The news you've heard lately.
Oh, boy. Nothing. Just kidding. Well, I'll tell you, yesterday I largely spent my time listening to the testimony in this Gerhard Koenig trial.
Okay.
I can't remember if we talked about this on Thursday or a Monday, but I know that we did. We did the story.
Which one's Gerhard?
Well, this is the story of the...
In Hawaii?
Yes.
Oh,
the
Lord,
married couple in Hawaii. They were on a birthday trip for Ariel, the wife. They were in Oahu. They live in Maui. They went to Oahu. They're doing a hike. She's feeling uneasy about it all. It's real high.
He's like, "Well, let's get this selfie."
He's like, "We're going to get this selfie." And then, according to her, he tried to throw her off the cliff. And then, when that didn't work, there was a syringe at some point. He is an anesthesiologist. Yep. And she was able to break the syringe, or, you know, in the scuffle, they broke the syringe.
Yep.
And then he hit her in the head multiple times with the rock.
Yeah. Yeah. Mind you, she's pleading with him the entire time.
And some nurses, two women nurses that were doing the hike. Happened to hear her screaming, "Help me, he's trying to kill me." Well, he testified yesterday, or...
Wow.
At least I heard it yesterday. Could have been the day before. The funny thing is, Megan Cunniff is a reporter who... trial reporter who I started following at the beginning of the Tory Lanez, Meg Thee Stallion stuff. And... she mentioned that where they are, the court is open, like, not all week, you know? It's, like, very Hawaii relaxed. We do the court 3 days a week.
Isn't, like, a friend of yours a judge in Hawaii or something?
Shout out to Woody. I don't know if he still is. I'm not sure if he still is. I gotta check in with him. Woody? But yes, he's like a magistrate.
Crazy. Yeah. Crazy. You are connected.
Very. I hope not to need any of those connections in that regard. Yeah, so he freaking testified, you guys.
Bruh.
The defendant, rarely in an attempted MOIDA trial, is testifying. Not usually a good thing to do.
No.
I will say that his lawyer, not the best. And I'm not saying that he's got any sort of, you know, I'm not a lawyer. And so I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, do you have to ask the questions bad?
You're not a lawyer. But you have consumed a lot of SVU.
Okay, that means...
Hear me out, because you got some qualifications here.
No.
A lot of SVU, huh? A lot of Daredevil. For anyone who doesn't know, Daredevil's daytime job is to be a lawyer. He is Matt Murdock.
A defense lawyer. At that.
Yeah.
I've also watched a lot of Matlock.
This is what I'm saying.
Both genders.
This is what I mean. Mind you, you may not be a lawyer, but I think that's just a formality.
Well, I think that any lawyer listening right now knows the formality is law school and the bar. I didn't do any of those things.
I'll allow it.
Thank you. What I will say is that my TV resume, watching aside, this is... of high interest to me. Certain, not just trials, but like arguing law is very... Ah,
got you. You hear that, guy? She likes to argue. Tell me about it. the old ball and chain. Yeah. All she wants to do, argue and make meatloaf.
Yippity yappity. Yes, yeah. Arguing and making meatloaf?
That's all she wants to do.
Michelle, are you there? AJ?
You guys stay away from your phones. I don't need any of your engagement interactions.
I'm confused on why Ambush thinks he should be doing this morning.
Listen, we're fresh out of Women's History Month. I know how long I've been waiting to just be like, slander, slander women, slander, slander.
I guess.
Don't burn
31
her.
Days.
It was 31 long, hard days. Finally, Women's History Month is over.
Well,
I guess 31 days.
I have been deeply engulfed in this.
Yeah.
And as I was saying, defendants, they don't testify typically, that often. Yeah. Like, especially when some of your family doesn't believe you.
Yikes.
So they had
children, right?
They had, yeah. Like, so he had two kids previous with his first wife, and then they have two kids together. Mm-hmm. One of the kids from the first wife lives with them in Maui.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And has continued to live with Ariel in Maui this year. That,
yeah, I got to get away from this guy.
Yeah. So he FaceTimed that son. The son is 20. He FaceTimed that son after the attempted murder. Mm-hmm. Or the scuffle. I think that his lawyer called it. You were like wrestling a bit of a scuffle, right? So he had FaceTimed the, you know, Ariel's gotten away. And he FaceTimes his son, apparently, and is telling him he's going to jump because, you know, he has...
His life is ruined.
His life is ruined. And what his son says is he said he tried to kill Ariel.
I'm sorry. He told his son he tried to kill his wife.
Or cheating on him.
And now that didn't work, so I'm just going to jump. He confessed to the son.
Correct. Is what the son says.
How was there a trial?
Well, because that's his version.
I know.
And then,
you know me,
the dad got on the stand and was like, he misheard me. That's not really what I said. And
what did you say, sir?
The son referred to him only as the defendant. He did not call him his dad.
No.
He didn't use his name. Mm. And that did, in fact, make Gerhard break down.
Good.
He was sobbing.
Good.
On the stand.
Good. Good. Do you think you deserve a relationship with your children after that?
I think he does.
Yeah.
I think he does think he should. That should. He's like, hey, that's not even your mom.
That's not even your real mom, bro.
What's going on around here?
Pick me. Come on. AJ, I am behaving. I did get it together.
Good morning, AJ. Did you get it together?
Yes.
You did. You a little bit. I mean, I had to tell on you, but that's okay.
It's all right. It's all right.
Was anybody here early enough to hear my new favorite song that Ann played?
I put it directly in the notes. They're going to know about that.
It's called The Good Old Days by Hayley Williams. If you want to start your day with a big old smile, start there.
So as interested as I am in this story, I got so detached from it after we reported it, and I thought they were already at sentencing. So it's interesting to hear now.
Okay.
All right. Words work. Where they are in the case, and that the fact that he testified, which is, again, bananagrams. Sir, please, pipe down.
Yeah.
You don't say a thing.
Yeah.
This is terrible lawyering.
Well, what I was going to say is I don't know that I would want that lawyer to speak for me. You know, like he's just, part of me is like, do you have to ask the questions back?
Right.
Do you have to do it? And by that, I mean, the way he cross-examined the son, he should have just said, I have no questions. Thank you. He should have just said, we don't need to do further harm to our case, Your Honor. Thank you anyway. You can step down. He should have asked the son absolutely zero. He basically just went through the entire prosecution's case, just stipulating those facts. It was incredibly weird to me.
Hmm.
But basically what their defense is that they're not really disputing certain facts. They're just saying they're just reframing it. That's not really how that happened.
No.
What? No, what?
I'm with you. I'm like, no, that's a terrible defense. I'm like, no.
Well, they're like, hey, it looked like a scuffle from afar, but like she was attacking me. Yeah. I don't know how far it will go trying to reframe the intent of that entire birthday trip. And he's got all these, you know, incriminating Google searches.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that stuff.
Yeah. You're going to always try to humanize the defendant, you know, and that certainly makes sense.
Sure.
And you need to introduce doubt. Like, that's the whole point, that the jury believes this beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right. That's the point. That's what you get. That's
so the if you line. Can insert the reasonable doubt, that's the job. But once the defendant takes the stand, it's about credibility at that point. Like, it doesn't really matter what the evidence is. It does. The evidence matters.
Yeah, sure.
But once you introduce you and your personality and how you have interpreted the scenario and how you're reframing it, it goes into a different, you know, the jury's looking at different things now.
Of course.
And he's just not that believable to me, I would say. He's trying very hard to be very believable. And they're basically trying to explain, she, if you'll remember in the first reporting of this, it was like flirty text messages is what he was responding to. And he's like, absolutely not. This was a full-blown affair. And she admitted it to me. Mm. And we were working on it.
They were in therapy and stuff.
They were in therapy. Yeah. But he said on the stand, we hadn't even gotten to the affair yet. You know, she's bringing up all this old stuff. And she's talking about all this stuff that ain't got nothing to do with nothing right now.
Wow. Wow. She means she's bringing up a bunch of stuff that may be the reasons as to why she's had an affair?
Correct.
And you don't want to talk about that?
Well, no, because that's not the actual affair. That's not... I didn't ask for why you did it. I thought you never would. And so now...
Right. We're here because you did something. And now that we're here in front of someone that can help us, you want to talk about... You want to blame me.
That's literally my man's take.
We are cooked. As the male species. Cooked.
I mean,
burnt out.
The job is to reshape the narrative. Yeah. Like, that is what you're supposed to do. But this, they've yet to crack the prosecution's case.
Okay? Yeah.
You know, they've yet to. It's like they're just kind of reinforcing it, you know, and then.
Accidentally.
And then being like, but other way around, right? Because. It was Mr. Koenig that was hitting the head with the rock. And it
what?
Was, I mean, he did. She.
In
the scuffle, if you'll survive. Remember, she had grabbed his. Privates.
Oh, yeah. Oh, great.
And
I was like, go, girl, do that.
Right.
Yeah.
And she, I guess, hit him.
Got a good groin shot in. Yeah, man.
But he does admit to picking up a rock and hitting her repeatedly.
Well, good on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is very strange. His defense is terrible.
This is going to be a
thank goodness.
Fantastic made-for-TV movie.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. If it's not...
And I'm sorry to... I'm not trying to trivialize the
pain.
But
you just know where it's going.
Are actually going through. But
yeah. And this is a, like, TNT... They said this isn't a Hallmark song. This is like...
No, there's real actors in it.
Yeah, know? Exactly.
That's not fair.
Hallmark, I know what you mean, though. Real I know what you mean. Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some recognizable faces is what you mean. Wow.
Yeah.
Good grief.
I'm very much... I'm completely dialed into this. I'm going to listen to the rest of this today.
We're expecting this to be a short trial, I'm assuming.
No, because there isn't court every day.
Oh,
and
right.
There's a lot to talk about when the defense says this was actually self-defense because she was trying to kill me.
He said, I'm fighting for my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go away.
So I've been stuck on that.
Wow.
And then I'll be very quick with this because there's story to it you know. Mm-hmm. But it's, man, Portland, fiance,
lean in.
I shout out to Alex Zelensky, number one.
Alex,
we love you. We appreciate you. We miss you. Your work is really great.
Yeah. Top notchery.
As I was reading her article yesterday, I wanted to pull both of my eyes out. Keith Wilson, who is the mayor here, is no Zohran Mamdani. Okay? Let's start there.
For sure.
We need a Zohran. This is absolutely silly business.
I wonder if Zoe can loan us any Mamdanis.
That was great.
can you just send us a Mamdani or two?
If you'll remember, Keith Wilson ran on ending homelessness or unsheltered living. I don't remember how he said it. Ending it in a year, because that's something people can do.
Yeah,
he ran on that. And then Multnomah County comes out with data that says there are 3,000 more unsheltered people living unsheltered today than there were when he became the mayor.
Morgan, what you're saying is the number of unsheltered people, despite his best efforts to eliminate it completely.
Well, if these are the best efforts, but yeah, go ahead.
That number has increased by 3,000 people?
The number has increased by 3,000 people that the county has been able to document.
There we go. Shite.
Like... that they can document.
Right.
And man said, guys, that data is just not really boring out with what we're seeing here anecdotally.
Right. Anecdotally.
What? Sorry for your ears. Sorry for your eardrums. I didn't mean to yell into the mic.
It's not bearing out what you're seeing anecdotally.
We're not seeing that on the ground in the same way.
Which, I mean, says everything, right? Well, aren't you seeing less houseless people? Because that's what I was doing. I was just trying to sweep and move them around so that you don't catch as many on your
literally
social medias.
Literally his point.
Aren't you seeing less?
He's like, you know. The visible changes are
visible,
very visible, guys. There's fewer tents in certain areas.
Oh no!
There are more shelters opening in certain areas. Suggesting that the data is flawed or outdated,
right?
Or not capturing like movement within the system. They're just, I guess they caught them at the unsheltered and never followed through to when they were now, they're all now housed.
Oh my gosh.
So he's basically like, this data is just making it look worse. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that. Hey.
Oh my God.
It's not as bad as the data sounds, guys. And who really needs data? Look outside.
Who needs data when it's sounding like this?
I just, you know, when your idea of ending homelessness is opening night shelters. I mean, not only are we doing absolutely zero to do
right
anything for the people that are currently unsheltered and unhoused, you're doing absolutely zero to keep people in their houses. So, I mean, those 3,000 newly unsheltered people, what do you think you could have done to help prevent that?
Right.
I don't know. There's like $160 million floating around that everybody forgot about, I guess.
106.
Oh, I said 60. Sorry. 106. 106.
It's still a ton of money.
It's a lot of money. And it, I mean, and what are we doing? We're hanging out waiting for it to spend itself, yeah. I guess.
You're listening to XRFM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And then the Halen Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. I am curious, considering that was something he campaigned on as one of his major things, and considering it's gotten worse, what does his day look like? What's his calendar look like? What are you doing, Mayor? What are your duties? What are you been up to? What are your successes? what's something you're wrestling with right now?
Homelessness. Well, he's got wrestling you tied with up? Multnomah County's right. data that he doesn't want to have to face.
That man's like, get me a Sharpie.
Right. Like, obviously, you can move people out of sight without reducing homelessness. And data can improve while the outcomes don't.
Right.
Like,
right.
What are you deciding to rely on here?
Right.
Simply anecdotes? I just felt like that was so wild to even read.
It was very wild.
Like, that. It's just not what we're seeing anecdotally.
Yeah. It's like, it's literally like, hey, it's just not what's happening on, you know, it's not being caught on social media. So
could it be happening?
You know?
Just unsure.
You know, my success is not a sexy story. So no one's talking about, you know, my success with eliminating houselessness here in Portland. You haven't. It's gotten worse. And now what? Oh. And now what? What happened, MJ?
This text says, I'm sure the police will find a way for that $106 million to spend itself.
Yikes. Yes, Blobfish, you are correct.
Blobfish, you're always right.
You know they're going to get more dogs and robots. And
robot dogs.
Drones, yes.
Drone dogs.
Drone dogs.
To drop from the sky.
Yeah. God.
That'll yeah, we're not in a great way. I'll say that.
Mayor Wilson.
Yeah, but
keep an eye on your gas tanks too. Keep your eye on the pump, you guys. I'm sure you've seen prices just soaring all over the place. I'll give you a funny anecdotal story there.
No,
just that's what we're doing. I was talking to Morgan last week. I was like, yeah, man. I threw $30 in the tank, and then when I pulled off, I didn't think any of it. $30, yeah, throw it in there. I pull off, and I was like, whoa, that barely crossed a quarter tank. What is happening? And MJ's like, well, where'd you get gas? I was like, where we always get gas? 76, it's the cheapest in the United States of America. And MJ was like, it is not.
It never has.
She's like, did you look at the... I was like, I never looked there. It's just, this is the best place to go.
I just go.
And you're like, yeah, babe, it's like four something. And I was like, what?
No, it's not. It was four something. It was $4.89.
Yeah, it was close to five.
At what we had always known as a cheaper gas station.
Yeah.
And I was telling you, I will only get gas at Costco right now.
That's it.
And even if it's okay, that means I have to leave 20 minutes earlier so I can still get to Vancouver on time.
Right.
I am getting the gas from Costco.
Hello.
And I'll tell you this, it's creeping over at the Costco.
Prices are creeping up?
Yep.
Have they increased the price of the rotisserie chicken? Because that's what really matters.
Still $5.
This is what I'm talking about. So, the EPA, excuse me, their initial gas standards would allow for 10% of ethanol in our gas. Now, ethanol makes gas cheaper, but it also lowers the energy output.
Oh.
So you're getting less, you know, less...
less gas for bang for your buck.
Less bang for your buck. Everyone can't afford 93 octane. You know?
It does is every what it car is. Need it, though?
Every car need 93?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No. So, in order to combat the current oil crisis that we're in, they're moving that 10%
that we created.
They're moving that 10% ethanol to 15%.
Oh, what's that mean?
Well, your gas is going to get a tiny bit cheaper, but you're also getting gas that is worse for your car. So older cars, this gas is going to cause some issues, going to give some gastric problems to your older vehicle.
Gastric.
Yeah.
Okay, real quick, when you say older cars, you mean a vintage 1976 Chevy Impala.
Or a vintage 1992 Lexus.
Or a vintage 2002.
Precisely.
Mazda MP4.
Yeah. 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 They're dirtying up the gas.
What about a 2010?
I think a 2010 might also be in bad shape.
Is this the way that they replace every vehicle with a electric car?
I hope so.
Because all our cars are going to what? Blow up or what? Like, what's the... What happens when you put bad gas in your car?
Your car starts to deteriorate.
Oh. Like from the inside out?
It shortens the life of the... vehicle. Of the engine. Yeah. Fuel system. Yep. So we're getting cheaper gas that's more harmful to our cars. And if you're running leaf blowers, lawnmowers, things like that, some of the smaller combustible engines. Yeah. But that's the solution, right? Because...
Make the stuff... step on the gas.
Yeah.
I'll just use my drug terminology.
Yeah, step on it, man. Cut
I'm gonna
it.
I'm going to cut the gas.
Yeah.
No, because that sounds like I turned off your ability to use the gas in your home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to step on the gas.
Yeah.
Add something that weakens it. And then you said we'll get cheaper gas, but that's not how I... see these.
So here's a clarification. Things. While most vehicles manufactured after 2001 can safely use E15, older cars and small, I don't know where these R's are coming from.
Okay.
Older cars and small engines, such as those in boats, lawn equipment, and chainsaws, may experience damage due to ethanol's corrosive properties and tendency to absorb moisture. Yay!
You said... For the most part, cars made after 2001.
For the most part.
Which, that is a vintage vehicle at this point, right?
Yeah.
What makes a, is it 20 or 25?
I think it's 25, honestly. But it's street vintage, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, those cars are in harm's way. What happened? What you got there?
You know... Google's just never right.
You know what?
Not never.
I'm glad you said that. Something popped in my head earlier, and I didn't want to interrupt, and I should have wrote it down with the story about Gerhard and Koenig.
Gerhard Koenig is
Gerhard Koenig. Yeah. Right.
That
there were some of the evidence was presented was from a Google search, right? Of him searching ways to kill his wife or something.
Some of the evidence presented is his Google searches.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he didn't Google how do you kill your wife in Oahu, but it was like a lot of keywords together.
That led to it. Yeah. To kind of put the story together.
Yeah.
I am curious, and we can go to music after this if you want. I don't want to drag this out too long. I'm jumping back to an older story. But I am curious about how long it will take for people that want to commit these types of crimes to remember or to at least Google searching. Because the amount of times that a Google search has completely exposed them and been the undoing. It's like you would think, are you guys Google searching about Google searching? Are you Google searching where else to search? It's never like, and we found their Safari history, or we found their Firefox. It's everyone just We're just Google is the feds. At what point?
Google is definitely the feds.
Yeah. You're in the process of committing the crime. You are providing the evidence. Yeah. You're like, let me just kick you guys
a trail.
Yeah.
It's a digital one. I covered my physical tracks.
Here's a chapter by chapter guide of how I want to do this thing. First, I look up.
I mean,
in chapter two, I look up.
Yeah.
Good grief, man.
I don't know how far those Google searches go. I think a lot of people say they Googled something, even if they were on a different browser. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, yeah.
People will be like, well, just Google. Like, that's.
They're in opera and they're like, oh, I'm going to Google. Google and opera. Are you what? What are you doing there?
Exactly. Sorry.
It's like Pampers, right?
Yes.
Is the brand.
Not an actual.
No. It's a diaper.
Yeah.
C said, I thought Ambush was going to say he put $30 in, and when he drove off, the gaslight came on.
Good morning, C.
It might as well have, C.
Basically. That's basically what happened.
He also said, rotisserie chicken at Costco hasn't gone up yet. They're still using cooling oil in their oven. Is this a cooler?
It says cooling. I think it's just a typo.
Oh, okay. So
cooking oil, maybe? Cooking.
What did Dib say?
According to the disappeared leader last night. Is that what that says?
I think so.
No, diapered. I put an S in there.
That's it.
According to the diapered leader last night, we have lots of gas. A surplus even. Well, so much gas that, we shouldn't even be impacted, honestly. He's trying to figure out why our gas has gone up. Because we have so much.
It's the most irritating thing. It really is the most irritating thing. You do all this fighting around the entire globe to secure our reserves and all of this. Only to get to the point where, go ahead, tap the reserves. Nah, let's raise the prices and cheapen the quality of gas. The failures of the most powerful nation on the planet... It's just like, oh my God, there are no attempts to move past mediocrity. None. Just fail your way up.
If you did that your whole life, there would be zero reason to be trying to change it.
I'm like, but even in some old, like comparing yourself to the Joneses, don't you want to, you got the ability to do better than your next door neighbors. You got the ability to like really blow them out the box. And instead it's like,
No, it's just a different definition of blow you out the box.
Different definition of a success there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's very literal. You know, I think they call him concrete thinkers. You're like, blow him out of the box, Mr. President. And he's like, drop the bombs.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Terrible.
Well, he addressed the nation. And
that fool's
was like, guys, we're in total control. We're so good. Yeah. We have all the gas, all the oil. We're in complete and total control of this situation. Everything's going as planned, except for it's going faster than we thought. And also not as fast as we thought. And this is necessary, you know? This is defensive, even. We're not even being offensive. This is, you know, we're just getting everything under control.
Yeah, we're in someone else's country defending ourselves.
He's like, Iran's looking for a way out of this. They've got no shot. Oh, boy.
They certainly are not. Certainly are not looking for a way out of this.
I mean, when you are simultaneously talking about strength and saying that the other side wants peace, that usually means it's a little more volatile than you're letting on. Because what are you being all strong about if these other people are just bowing down?
Oh my gosh. He's such a clown, bro. Such a clown.
He's not even good at projecting, and that's what really gets me upset, is that for the people that are like, yes, we have to do this, you know, what's his face? Schneider was like, start the draft.
Rob Schneider, yeah.
Yeah. Gotta get the draft going.
He's a dunce.
Everybody's, you know, everyone should have to serve.
There's such a low bar for charisma on that side of the fence.
I think there's a low bar for charisma, period.
Yeah. But like, to your point, like, he's not even good.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he's up there and like, you know, Obama knows when to do the pauses, knows when to make eye contact with the camera. Like, he's not working the crowd at all.
No, there's no crowd
work. Terrible. And everyone's like, oh, I just love Trump's energy. He's so charismatic. And man, he just gets up there and gets me energized. How?
It's so confusing.
He just gets in front of a microphone and a camera and just starts fumbling around. I forgot what the meeting was, a press conference was. And then he just goes off. He was talking about Iran initially and then just goes off and starts talking about the price of the pens that he gives away when he's signing autographs. And the rest of his advisors are just sitting around him and they're just smiling and nodding. And it was like, come on, man.
Okay,
come on.
I don't know the one about pens he gives away, but when did you see when he was like, this was, you know, ICE was my idea at the airports. It's kind of like the guy who invented the paperclip. He's like, what? You know, he comes up with it and everybody's like, whoa, what a great idea. That's amazing. I wish I would have thought of that. It's like that. Huh?
Yo,
if Joe Byron would have said, we're talking about ICE agents in the airport being the president's idea.
Right.
And if Joe Byron would have said, and it's like the paperclip, Jack. What?
Yeah.
They would still, right now, they'd be calling him Paperclip Joe.
They would definitely be calling him Paperclip Joe.
Joe the paperclip. I cannot.
Yeah, this is murky water.
Okay. Wait, I don't know who said this, but we are living through a political Three Stooges. Again, it always is. Right.
We are living through a political Three Stooges. We are. Oh my gosh. Okay, so it's upsetting. Have two stories this morning.
Oh, right.
scripts for snaps.
Oh, we're finally going to do this.
Finally going to do that story. The pediatrician, former pediatrician, caught selling prescriptions for sexy time photos and deeds. And then I know you guys have been wondering because I haven't brought them up in a while.
Mm.
But the gay agenda strikes again.
No.
Yeah. They've been a little covert. I think they were working on their Project 2026, and now they're at it.
They're implementing.
And Jaden Ivey got cut from the Bulls because of it.
Oh man,
it's that old gay agenda, hampering free speech.
You know? Okay, well, I'll tell you this. After the break, I want to start with that.
Which won't hamper is my free speech.
Yeah,
we're after the break, I will right into that.
We're gonna walk right into that trap.
All right, we'll catch you after the break. And we are back. Welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. You saw that text? Go ahead, read it.
AJ said, okay, Tom Hartman, what is this song?
And then we got another text. Did my signal just switch over to hot alternative 90s somehow? I'm not even driving. That's right.
Can I just tell you what happened here? So the song starts and I'm talking to Ambush, right? Like we have production meetings on the in-between.
Yeah, that's what we do.
And I'm talking and then I go, what is this song? Is it? Am I hearing the Soundgarden dude? And he says, I said, is this Stone Temple Pilots? I think
right.
I asked.
Yeah.
And you said, them and Soundgarden is
Temple of the Dog.
Temple of the Dog.
Yeah.
Okay, what? Number one. And then I go, but that's the Pearl Jam dude's voice. Like, what is happening?
What's happening here?
And indeed, that Eddie Vedder, you did hear it in there if you you know, happen to know that voice. Did you know that that super group existed? Fiancés?
Right?
I didn't.
I loved that song. There were a couple other songs from Temple of the Dog that I knew, but that's the one that was a huge single that was big on MTV. They played that video all the time. And it was amazing seeing them all together. Like, hey, I know you guys from different groups, but we just found out, I did not know this, that Temple of the Dog predated Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
I thought Pearl Jam was out. And then by the time I saw this video, like, okay, cool. They did a group together. This is awesome.
No, that was their first foray.
Wow.
It sounds like.
Pearl Jam is the spinoff of Temple of the Dog. Holy smokes.
Pearl Jam is a spinoff. Soundgarden is a spinoff. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Temple of the Dog. I have questions about the name, but.
Listen, the song's called Hunger Strike, okay? I'm going hungry. Don't have any questions.
Oh, that's what he was saying.
That's what he was saying. Oh my God. Oh, that's what he was saying.
Well, anyway, we have Chris Cornell from Soundgarden to thank for all of it, I guess. That's what happened in here during that song. And AJ, I'm with you.
Morgan Jones.
Yes.
Have you been keeping up on the gay agenda?
I think not.
Have you been getting the newsletters?
Oh, definitely not.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it like The Watchmen?
Something, you know, like that, yeah.
Do they drop it off, yeah, or does it show up?
They only DM you. You have to be in if you're not in that group DM.
Then I think
you're out.
You know that I'm not in there. Yeah. I don't know.
No. There's a lot of cool people in there with me. I thought maybe I saw you in there a couple times. Because you're just not online a lot. So I didn't think you weren't in there. I just thought, like, you know, I hadn't spent any time in there.
Oh.
But let me tell you what they've been up to. The Chicago Bulls waived guard Jaden Ivey on Monday, citing conduct detrimental to the team. What did he do, you might ask? After the former top five draft pick publicly criticized the NBA support of the LGBTQ+ community, the move ends a brief and turbulent stint in Chicago for the 24-year-old, who appeared in just 4 games with the team following a midseason trade. What's that look on your face? What happened?
Oh, it's the text messages, but we'll have to come back to that.
Okay. Ivy, originally selected number 5 overall in the 2022 NBA draft by Detroit Pistons, entered the league as one of its most promising young guards, known for his speed and athleticism. He quickly established himself during his rookie season, averaging 16.3 points and earning all rookie honors while playing alongside franchise cornerstone Cade Cunningham. Despite early promise, Ivy's trajectory shifted during his second season as his role diminished under a new coaching staff. Injuries and inconsistency further complicated his development. And although he showed flashes of improvement early in 2024-2025 season, a fractured fibula and subsequent knee issues disrupted his progress. That's what happened to me, you guys. By the
fractured
time,
fibula.
Yeah.
So,
come on, begin to kill him. Come on, I'd be one of the best guards, period. By the time he returned to action, he had lost his starting role and was eventually traded to Chicago as part of a 3-team deal. Ivy signed with the Bulls, was marked by limited playing opportunities and growing tension. He was benched for a coach's decision in February, raising questions about his fit within a crowded backcourt. Publicly, Levy leaned heavy into his religious beliefs, frequently referencing his faith in interviews and expressing skepticism about the NBA environment.
Is it because there's too many dudes?
Might could be. The situation escalated after Ivy made critical remarks about the league's Pride Month initiatives during a social media live stream. In the broadcast, he described the NBA support of the LGBTQ+ inclusion as promoting unrighteousness. The Bulls drew scrutiny and immediately contributed to the Bulls' decision to release him. The comments drew scrutiny, and ultimately contributed to the Bulls' decision to release him, though the league itself has not issued a formal response. Ivy's expected to receive his full $10 million salary for the season and will become an unrestricted free agent once he clears waivers. Mm. His departure underscores a dramatic fall from early career expectations, leaving uncertainty his future in the NBA as teams weigh both his on-court potential and his off-court controversies. And this is what I'm saying. The gay agenda is attacking free speech, Morgan Jones.
No.
What do you mean, no? It's clear. It's right there.
Right where?
His speech is free.
Yes. His consequences are not.
Oh. I always forget about that part.
So does he.
Sorry, free speech warriors.
So do a lot of people. Did he get arrested?
I don't believe so.
Did he get arrested for saying what he said?
Nope.
Then the speech was free, baby.
Bruh.
That is what free speech means. You are not getting arrested by your government for words you said. It does not mean that there aren't consequences. It does not mean that you are not responsible for the words that you use.
Right.
You said them. You did it. The thing that gets me is there is no line between the two, right? It's not like, where does the line cross between free speech and consequences of that speech? They're not related. If you need to do it that way.
Yeah.
They're not related. And I'm saying that because I've seen a lot of people say, where's the line? Bless you.
Thank you.
Where's the line? What can I say without being either canceled, fired, blah, blah, you know, whatever. I don't know because I don't know where you work. I don't know what the rules are. I know when you work for the NBA, you have absolutely zero business bringing whatever the righteousness that on about.
Your religious proclivities.
You can say what you want. But I think that there's something about biting the hand that feeds you.
Like,
I don't know what you thought would happen. I don't know what people expect. Like, did he think he was about to either go completely unnoticed and under the radar with the hate speech?
Bruh.
Or is it that you thought a lot of people would just like jump on the bandwagon and be like, heck yeah, brother. I don't think that, because people that are doing this kind of gay agenda talk.
Yeah, it goes bad.
It doesn't just go bad. It goes to the same wall every single time. What's the agenda? Yeah. What's the agenda? Yeah. Nobody has an answer. I guess make us all gay.
He was like, NBA 2.
Even you.
Black righteousness. Black men with this righteousness is biting them out. It's biting their backs all the way out. It is doing them dirty. Doing them dirty. Them being zealots and wanting to imbue righteousness upon the globe and everyone in their circle, social circles. Sir, pipe it down. Pipe it down.
I'm going to say something that I did not expect myself to probably ever say.
This is going to be fantabulous. Give to me.
One Mason Betha.
Okay, good point. All right.
Mace, Murder Mace, Pastor Mace, however you know him.
Shiny suit Mace, bad boy aficionado.
Or Sports Talk Mace.
That's what I'm talking about.
With the bad suit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's really not the suits, it's the glasses. It's the accessories for me.
Yeah, the suit's all right.
He's not...
He's dressed like Pastor Mace, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a sports talk show, for anyone who doesn't know, with Cameron. Harlem.
Also known as Killer Cam. Killer Cam and Murder Mace.
Yep.
On their sports talk show, Mace made a fantastic point. And he said, when people become born again or are introduced to the word and are taking it in very devoutly and trying to live a devout, like, righteous life.
Right.
It's sort of like they're brand new, you know?
Yeah, that trial period.
There. They're in a trial period. Yeah. He said, you got to kind of act, you got to kind of treat people like they're not human. Because right now, they're looking at the rest of the world and they're saying, I can't be around any of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of this is bad.
He said when he came into, when he was born again, he didn't want to be around anyone human.
Anyone human.
Yeah. Because no one was good enough.
Yeah.
No one was good enough to be around. And, you know, I'm very familiar with people stuck in that level of zealousness. People who are zealots. The more restrictive religious communities
are
in that state the majority of the time. And it's kind of how they measure your worth within those communities. Like, where's your piety? How much are you reading? How many Bible studies are you doing?
Right.
Do you really know the word?
Are you living the word?
Are you living the word? Yeah.
So in that, you know, statement, he also said, whoever is preaching to him is what he's going to preach out.
Yeah.
So he's like, if they're spewing hate and it's over and over and over and telling you this is not righteous, this is how you live righteously, and it's just hatred for other people, you are going to move forward thinking that is the word.
Yeah.
Now, this is not me shooting bail to old boy. I don't know how we're still here. I do. But, you know, I don't.
Yeah.
It's so silly.
Yeah.
It's so silly. It's so harmful. I don't mean to sound reductive to it, because it's incredibly dangerous and harmful. And people are literally killed daily for being who they are born as. Like, be so for real.
The silliness, I think, rests in the expectation of being able to do something like this without consequence.
That and the silliness of even talking about a gay agenda or talking about how, like, there is this disconnect that I just can't get. I think, you know, it's just a indoctrination does what it does. But, like, the idea that people, there is no choice, or that there's only choice, like, this is all anybody choosing that, it is just, it. One, they're choosing it, it's your free will, you know, God made you, but look what you did with it.
You got here and decided to be gay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Oh, my. Ambush, you are not supposed to. You know how hard it is for me to not curse every Thursday morning?
You're really good at it, though. You're really good at it.
I just really quickly want to jump into these texts, because the first one, the gay agenda is so strong, it made Krusty Gnome's husband bi curious.
You are correct, Phil. Phil also had an amazing follow-up to that. Statquo once said, free speech is like public nudity. You can walk around naked in your house, but if you go walking around outside with your junk out, people might have a problem with how you feel.
That's a Statquo quote?
With how free you feel. Yeah. That's a Statquo quote. Statquo.
That's hard. Statquo.
Statquo. Oh, man.
Wow.
C's.
What up, Phil, by the way?
What up, Phil? C said, you better be Larry Bird when you gonna go off the rails or on the honor. Yeah.
Thank you, C's. Yeah. You do not get to be a 24-year-old halfway nobody. And I don't...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You really don't. You don't get to do that. Not when...
Which is the point Cameron was making.
Yeah.
Like, you, hey.
You don't bring enough to the league for us to do that. You do not bring enough to your team.
Yeah, you ain't putting
for us to do that. Mm-mm. The team said, I'm sorry, do you know how much money we get from... Hey, slow down. Hey.
Release him.
Yeah.
Release him.
Whose big idea was it to make him a bull anyway?
Whose big idea? Why I oughta?
Whose big brain idea was it to get him?
Get over Francine here? In here. Francine, you find out who put him on this trade. Why I oughta.
I mean, yeah, you better be Larry Bird.
Yeah.
You better be putting some numbers on the board.
Yeah.
You don't get to rookie season 16 points. No.
Man.
Not at all.
Larry was a smooth operator.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. Yeah.
Watching him and Magic was just like, wow. It was, whew, man. Incredible.
This is kind of unrelated, everybody, but do you, and this may just be for my Portland folks, this may be for you know,
I got
some originals, if you will,
or
people that have been here long enough to know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Netflix documentary, I think it's this month for sure.
Yeah,
it's like April 14th or something like that.
Yeah.
We've talked about it a lot here. An era of the Trailblazers when the city of Portland showed just how racist they are and started calling them the Jailblazers.
That is crazy.
One of the best teams assembled. Okay.
This is so wild. So wild.
One of the best teams assembled. We had
y'all were cooking
incredible
up.
Talent.
Y'all were cooking.
Cooking up. I just remember saying in that time, do we want to win? Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of stupid things happening.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of very young, dumb mistakes. A lot of hubris, if you will. A lot of... with that, a lot of confidence in those young men who knew what they were doing on La Court. However, they were very, you know...
They were young men.
They were young men, but she'd made a very good point. He was like, I'm now in a place where they don't even understand where I come from. Like, the way I'm talking, they don't even understand that. Which is so real. Rasheed Wallace, one of my, like, most favorites.
Period. People. Period.
People.
Yeah.
Like,
not even basketball, just people. Yeah.
Mans was, and I remember arguing with my dad about this in the time, because I was like, no, this absolutely makes sense. You know? Anyway, they kept trying to make him like the leader of the team. Like, you're going to be who everybody looks to. He was like, no, I'm not.
Please don't.
First of all, you don't want that. You don't want that from me.
I don't want that. You don't want that.
I'm not that. I'm not your role model. I'm not going to be. No.
I'm just here to work.
Stop trying to make this more than it is.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is effective communication.
Yeah, it is.
That to me says, stop trying to put something on somebody who has absolutely zero desire in doing what you're talking about. In order for you to be the leader of the team, the communication, you are coaching.
Yeah. On and off the court.
On and off the court.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I don't want that. That's a bigger responsibility than I'm able to do, is literally what he said. And they were like, yeah, we won't have it. Does he even want to play basketball then?
Jeez.
Should he even be here?
I was so excited to show you that documentary.
Oh, my word.
I was so excited.
I
show you the trailer for it.
Cannot wait. Like, yeah. I'm losing my mind. And it's, you know, when you live through something like that, you in the time don't even necessarily, especially at my age, like, I just did not... know how to articulate mm-hmm. what I was seeing.
I should organize a watch party with you and Castro.
Well, please.
Yeah.
Get that going.
Yeah. All right.
I want a watch party. Watch party for the Jailblazers.
For the Jailblazers. We got one more story to get to. We're going to hop into this break. We got to get to the story because we, you know, we've had it for a while. Running. Yeah.
Do it.
All right. Be right back. And we are back. Welcome back to News My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush right here on X-Ray FM. Yeah. The music has been all over the place this morning. Very happy to be able to share with you. You know, what we got going on? This is what I work out in the gym, so that's my bestie. I get my gains.
I don't know how old Van Van is, but she is a dream.
She is adorable.
The singing you heard there in that song, one Eris Harris.
Nice.
T.I.'s daughter.
Yeah.
T.I. and Tiny's daughter.
T.I. and Tiny's Sorry, daughter. Yeah.
Van been on Abbott Elementary being just the cutest little.
Yeah, she is. And she's in the Steph Curry movie, Goat, this animated film that came out.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it came out, I think, like a month ago, maybe 2 months ago. And she plays two characters in there.
Oh, wow.
Van Van, get your money.
Okay.
This is what Kid Rap's supposed to sound like.
Yes. Kid Rap is supposed to sound like.
Little kids rapping to each other.
That's my bestie. That right. We got each other's back.
What?
Don't hate on my girl, okay?
There'll be none of that.
There'll be none of that.
That's what I'm talking about. Give me them bars.
Yeah. When we pull up, that means at the lunch table, not in the right. vehicle. You
exactly.
know.
We're not at the club.
We're not at the club, and we're not pretending to be.
Oh, jeez.
Ambush showed me the video for this last night, and they are, it's like a tribute to a bunch of 90s
yeah.
things. And Eris being dressed as T.I. when he came out, like the Falcons hat and yeah. the jersey. I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah, looking just like your daddy.
That's crazy. Okay.
All right.
Let me pull the story up here.
Woo!
It has been, I think, a full 2 weeks that I've been trying to do this. Because what in the world? A former pediatrician out of Bridgeton, Missouri, Dr. Craig Spiegel, looking at my time so I don't go over, has just been sentenced to 20 years in federal prison.
You don't say.
This is not just like a doctor doing something illegal. This is about power and access and sustained exploitation over nearly a decade. According to prosecutors, from 2014 to 2023, this man wrote over 1,200 illegal prescriptions,
bruh,
handed out more than 73,000 pills, and targeted at least 24 women. He wasn't just dealing drugs. He was trading prescriptions for nude photos, sex, and cash.
Way to overplay your hand, bro.
Overplay your hand. Man, you ain't never lied. These are not random people. Some of the women involved were patients that he had treated when they were children.
Oh, my God. Oh. Fam, you are nasty. Fam, you are nasty.
Someone that families have trusted their kids with. Being able to maintain that access to them is into adulthood is definitely exploiting the trust that
yeah.
they created when they were vulnerable.
So know? How does that work? Like, this is your pediatrician, and now when you have kids, they become your kid's pediatrician.
That is a thing.
Yeah.
For sure.
Whole time, he's also providing you with scripts for snaps.
Prosecutors said that he didn't randomly stumble into these situations. He targeted women struggling with addiction, meaning that this is coercion. This was manipulation. This was leveraging addiction as a tool of control. They said that he preyed on the desperation. He fueled it and then relied on it, you know? Over those years, he pushed opioids and amphetamines. He prescribed controlled substances under other people's names to sort of game insurance. You know, like if you're, there was one woman in particular who many people related to her had prescriptions. She would get their scripts. She would sell those pills. And he was fully aware of that. And you're having insurance pay copay or, you know, pay for the meds.
Right.
That fraud alone is over $114,000. And Medicare and Medicaid are like, you gonna run that back.
Yeah. Come through.
Yeah, so he's not, like, he's abusing the patients. He's abusing the public systems that right. are supposed to help keep people alive.
The abuse is rampant.
The abuse is rampant. A woman identified in court as NL, her mother and daughter both submitted impact statements that were read aloud. They said, even though she didn't die directly from the prescriptions he wrote, he gave her dangerous drug combinations while knowing she was struggling with addiction. Mm. Her mother said she died slowly every day, died slowly every day under his care. And the woman who's died, her daughter, said, all I ever wanted was a normal, loving relationship with my mom, and I will never get that now. That was so sad. Like, this is in their impact statement in court, and so that's the kind of thing. The point is to really pull at the heartstring.
Right.
But this woman died of an overdose, and like the mom said, it doesn't necessarily matter if she overdosed on the pills that he gave her or if she had to run out and get some heroin real quick or if she, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and the heroin had the fent and the fent had the...
None of that matters.
None of it matters because you helped fuel the addiction. And... sorry. this kind of thing gets me so bad because taking advantage of vulnerable people is like the American way.
Sheesh, didn't see that coming.
And
did not think you were going that way.
It's too common. It's too often. Man. It's what the crimes are. It's what the most dastardly things are, is just taking advantage of the most vulnerable people. And you have different access to, you know, different levels of vulnerability depending on your position in life.
Facts.
And being a doctor who is able to prescribe controlled substances to people who need treatment, to people who need intensive therapy, to even start understanding why they are doing the drugs they're doing to escape whatever it is they're trying to escape. Mm. But you're just handing them more because you want to see some boobs.
Jeez.
Or coerce someone into having
intercourse. Yeah.
So he would take money. He would take pictures. He would take actual acts. He says he's ashamed. He says he's sorry.
One of us is ashamed, sir, and it ain't you.
He talked about his family and how his mother would feel, and then he did a weird one.
Oh God.
Then he went and did a weird one. That backfired big and bad.
Oh, I forgot about this.
Again, he's in court. He apologizes. He apologizes to the woman's family who overdosed. And
guys, lean into your radio for this one.
And then he says, "I, you know, he I don't have a direct quote, but he blames the Holocaust. Having family who
perished in the Holocaust as his reasoning.
As his reason.
He's still dealing with, he's reeling from that trauma. And hurt people, is what he's basically saying.
Which is the... I'll just say that the judge shut that down and told him it was inappropriate in this context.
Very, very, very.
And then said what he did was a horrendous breach of trust, and he preyed on people, and that's unconscionable, and you're absolutely to jail.
Yeah. Reprehensible behavior, sir.
20 years federal prison, 5 years supervised release, and he will have to pay restitution, but he's 70 years old, so.
Yeah.
I got a feeling we're not going to probably get it to the restitution.
He's in his last apartment, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
He's not going to get his security. He's not getting that security deposit back, is what you're saying.
Moments ago, you said, I didn't say that's where you were going. I would have never thought you were about to say this is going to be his last apartment. Somebody get him.
He's in his final apartment, you guys.
I cannot believe that. Not as his forever home.
Oh, look what you found. You built this all for yourself. You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And then the Hale and Wheeler, Manzanita and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm.
Can I just finish the story yet?
Yeah.
Because there's a little bit more. The other part that really got me is that there were plenty of women that were reporting this guy.
Uh-huh.
And nothing was happening. Mm-mm.
Why did they wait so long to say anything?
Because nothing was happening.
Boom. Boom.
It took more victims coming forward in 2022 to even start an investigation.
Nasty.
And even... now, authorities are like, there may be more victims. The lines are still open. Call us, ladies. Let us know.
Yeah.
You know what? The lines are open now? Not when I was trying to tell you.
For decades. Wow. Thanks for opening the lines, you guys.
Yeah.
Awesome. You're so great. Jerks.
One, there were people reporting this. The police do absolutely nothing, and we know that their jobs are not to solve crime. there really is something to be said about how much it takes for people to believe that a doctor, a male doctor, could be doing anything to take advantage of patients. No,
so prestigious, these male doctors.
So prestigious. And really the only ones smart enough to doctor.
Do you even know what they're doing in there? Like, who are you to say this is abuse?
It's
an examination.
Literally cannot count how many, not even just like news stories, but like trials I've watched of either doctors, physical therapists,
trainers,
men in positions of medical authority, taking advantage of the girls, boys, and women that they serve.
Yeah, in their charge. Yeah.
I don't know how we still even trust the idea of that person being the doctor.
Right.
Or the... Never mind. We can end it there. It's about to get real Monday night-ish.
Yeah. Yeah, man. This...
I'm always here for an accountability story. Absolutely. I am always here for... But accountability to me does not mean jail. And it does to many people.
Yeah.
accountability to me in a scenario like this looks like 10 years ago, somebody started looking into the doctor who was giving too many scripts out.
Yeah.
When two different ladies come up to you and say, hey, this guy is doing this for this. The amount of people that can die, the amount of people that become addicts.
Unreported.
That don't have a connection simply because this isn't a story.
Right.
Don't know that you're being treated by him. Don't know that you're getting prescriptions from him. Like any abuse of power story that we, none of the accountability systems that we have enough or are effective. And that's why I say that jail is not accountability. That's not effective. That we're not getting someone. I mean, in this scenario, he's 70. He's not.
Yeah.
You know, but like. There is no trying to make somebody understand what they did was wrong. And here's why. And here's how we learn how not to do those things. And by that, I mean. A lot of this stuff is like you need to learn how to regulate your own.
Yeah.
Emotions and how you respond
your
to
actions
things.
And the way you control your. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of these things are just therapy. I'll be quiet.
The other thing missing from the chain of accountability are the enablers. So like you were saying, like, you know, locking this person up doesn't change anything. All it really demonstrates to people is you got caught doing something that a lot of other people were part of this mechanism. So he's been reported on for decades. Anyone that ignored these reports, anyone that pushed these to the side, you should be part of that accountability chain. You go down too, because then that shows, and you look at the whole thing and you back out. It's like, okay, this person did a thing, obviously. So that person should be tried for that. But wait a minute, all the other people that are responsible for enabling this person, they also get tried too? Whoa, so it's not even cool to look the other way. No, it's not cool to look the other way.
No.
None of it. There should be consequences for it all.
We did it.
That was another News of My Fiancé. Brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush and our illustrious podcast editor, Kyle G. Residual Audio.
Ba, 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 ba.
I have updated the playlist. Thank you guys so much for all your texts. Y'all killed it today. But yeah, y'all do know the deal. You got something else?
Well, I was just going to say, I never heard from Michelle. And so now I'm going to have to come directly to your house and find out if you're okay.
All right.
It won't be today, though.
A knock, knock. A no knock search.
Ross, let us know what's
going on. Yeah. Don't let the individual distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits, power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening. And we will catch you Monday night. Actually, we might not, because I believe it's Easter. We might take Monday off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
All right. Production meeting right there.
Right then and there.
All right, y'all.
Bye.